Hello, my lovely mutants. Welcome back to the Mutation Station, where we unearth the mysteries of medical science and celebrate the unique stories of genetic mutations. I'm Mish, your chief mutant, and today we have a very special guest, the delightful Zoe Louise, who's here to share her experiences and enlighten us about a condition that I've previously spoken of in my hypermobility segment, but many still might not be familiar with, Marfan syndrome. Now, Marfan syndrome is a genetic disorder that affects the body's connective tissue, which holds all of the body's cells, organs, and tissue together. It can impact many different parts of the body, including the heart, eyes, blood vessels, and skeleton. But Marfan syndrome involves a variety of challenges and risks, particularly cardiovascular complications that can be life-threatening. Despite these challenges, many individuals with Marfan syndrome lead fulfilling and active lives, just like Zoe. I strongly recommend you follow Zoe Louise on Instagram and TikTok. She shares with us not just the struggles, but also the triumphs of living with Marfan syndrome, from her diagnosis to how she manages her health day to day, and the incredible work she's doing to raise awareness about this condition. February was Marfan syndrome month, and she's done really great work, but it doesn't end there. Her content is fascinating and engaging, and you won't be disappointed in adding her to your following list. She's really funny too. I didn't want to take away from Zoe's socials by rehashing what she is already educating people on. Instead, we focus more on the day-to-day of living with the condition, delving into Zoe's personal experiences, hopes, and the lessons she's learned that she can share with others. Here's our interview. I'm sure you will love her as much as I do. Zoe, thank you so much for your time. You've been so generous and gracious, and I really, really appreciate you giving up your time to have this interview. Now, the Mutation Station is all about celebrating our differences and trying to change the narrative in society with our unique looks and conditions, because who wants to be a mediocre Stepford wife, normal person? Not us.
Not us. True.
Actually, no, that's right. It's about evolution, and it's about evolving our genetics and being different, standing out. And I just think your Instagram account and your TikTok accounts are all about celebrating your differences and celebrating your condition and educating people. One of the things I was absolutely devastated to watch was your reel about bullying, and it's something that we are trying to sort of change society's views on. I hope, is this, by doing this, by putting yourself out there with TikTok and Instagram, is that part of the healing of that trauma? Because I could hear in your voice that it was trauma.
Yeah, definitely. I think the upset that it caused growing up, it really affected me. Like, I've been in domestic violence relationships as well, so that's at a massive point, like, where it's like made me feel so low at times that I just wanted to sort of embrace that now, sort of, you know, try to get out there and try to be myself and start showing myself the way I really am, do you know what I mean? And not have judgment anymore. And I think the judgment in school was the hardest part, really. So yeah,
absolutely. Well, I'm glad you've come through it. I think you're a phenomenal person, and you're really doing great work to educate people on Marfan syndrome. And I like that your reels and everything go beyond Marfan syndrome too. We really see your personality shine, and I think that's really important for somebody who has been bullied, because you're being bullied for something that's beyond your control, and people don't see your personality. You're not being bullied for your personality. You're being bullied because of their personalities. And I love how your personality really shines through. So I'm so thrilled that you've come through, because it absolutely devastated me. I grew up in a really impoverished suburb of Sydney, and you got bullied for having a haircut coming to school with different hairstyle and stuff. So I felt it, but not to that extreme that you were going through. So well done, you survivor. Now, can you share how you were diagnosed with Marfan syndrome and what your initial thoughts or what your parents' thoughts were?
So when I was first born, I was born quite floppy, they would describe me as, and my limbs were quite loose and things like that. So they were always worried about something being not quite right about me. And my mother went, they told her she was neurotic, basically, said there was nothing wrong with me and things like that, dismissed her. But my mother fought for me, to be fair to her. She really did fight for me. Yeah. And she basically took me back and forth to hospitals and things like that. And then eventually I got somebody to look into my eyes and they diagnosed me with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome at first.
Yes.
So that was the first point where they found out about that. And then when I was 11, then I started growing a bit unusual. So I was long, so long limbs. My eyes were really bad still. And then they looked into my heart as well. And they noticed that the aorta was enlarged. So they thought, right, this is going into the Marfan territory now. So they were, like, they were thinking I was anorexic at one point. So right. I was like, no, I'm meeting. It's, you know, something's not right here. And they basically took me then to the hospital for genetics, and then they did the tests and everything. They'd done the blood tests, and then at 12, then I found out about the condition that I had, the positive gene for FIB1 then. So,
right. Yeah. So it affects different parts of your body, and you really go into your joint videos are amazing. The way you can
I know I could do it now, I'm <Yeah.
laughs> trying it.
Yeah.
How has it impacted your daily life the most? Just the different parts of the body that are affected.
So it affects all over my body. So every day is a different day. So I always try to not plan too far ahead. That's what I try to do, because every day something hurts more than others. I suffer a lot with my jaw more than anything at the minute. I've had operations on my jaw recently because it's hypermobile. So it clicks out a joint and things like that. My hips are really bad as well. So walking becomes difficult for me as well. So I sometimes have to use crutches. I have got a wheelchair, but I'm very stubborn and I try not to use it. So yeah, very stubborn. But every day is different. So it's always something completely different for me.
Yeah, there's no typical day.
No, it's not.
Would you like to address some common misconceptions about Marfan syndrome?
Oh, definitely. So we're not always tall and thin, and we don't always have glasses as well, because I got glasses but I wear contact lenses. But a lot of people with Marfan syndrome are not always actually tall. So there are people I've met, because I'm the only one in my family to have the Marfan, so I meet people online and they're actually 5'7", 5'6" and things like that. So I'm 6 foot, so I'm quite tall for a woman. So it's quite unusual to meet people who are shorter than being tall. So it's unusual.
Because just looking up the research I've done, like, being really tall is one of those symptoms. So that is a misconception, because I didn't realise that you could actually have shorter people with Marfan syndrome. So there you go. Can you talk about any treatments or therapies, just about being well, like your whole wellness, any treatments, any activities that you can recommend that help you?
With exercise, I always recommend swimming and gentle walking. I think that's really important. I try to do that twice a week myself. So, and with walking, I try to do it every day. So, but obviously days get hard and things like that. So sometimes I can't always do it. But I had DAFO therapy as a child. So I used to go to orthotics clinic for my feet, and they give you plastic sort of splint to go around your whole foot, and they were amazing because I used to have really flat feet, and they molded my feet into an arch, and they were wonderful, absolutely wonderful they were. So they, you know, they actually molded the feet then, so now I've got arches in my feet. I still have to wear splints. Plastic. I really recommend anybody who's got flat feet to go through that, because your balance is off and your ankles turn over and things, and that was fantastic. And physical therapy as well really strengthened my joints as a child and growing up. I still have to do physiotherapy now, but it does work if you keep going at it. So
exactly. I'm a swimmer, I love swimming, because, you know, as I mentioned, I've got two brain tumors and I take medication, so I swim to knock off the effects of being groggy and foggy, and it's such wonderful therapy. And I see you're an artist, and you are an amazing artist. Is that part of your therapy as well? Do you get therapy out of that?
Oh, definitely, especially for the mind as well, because when you're obviously feeling unwell and things, your mental health declines. So artwork is my way of like sort of releasing all that. My artwork's quite dark in some respects, so
I
it
love
just gets
it.
the darkness, yeah, so the
Yeah.
darkness out. So yeah, some of it's very abstract, but it's all to do with my genetic disorder, and I also do other people's genetic disorders as well, so I
Oh,
talk to
wow.
them. So yeah, so
Yeah,
it's always
that's
interesting.
amazing.
So
Do you
yeah.
sell your art? Because I'll put a link on online as well.
Oh
Do you
yeah,
have
I
that?
used to sell it. I haven't sold it for a long time now, but
Yeah.
I'll have to start selling that. Yeah,
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
I think your art was fantastic. I again similar. I dabble in artwork, but you went to uni to do fine arts. I do
Yeah.
YouTube channels and try and
Yeah. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, that's how you
we're
learn.
in different leagues though.
Yeah, that's how you learn, though. I learned off
Yeah.
YouTube, so yeah. Yeah.
It's very fluid art, and I can sort of see the motion and emotion in it. I really love it. It's amazing.
Now you're online speaking to others with the condition, obviously part of like a foundation or group, helping to educate and spread awareness, get information, materials, etc. I don't think Australia has a non-for-profit for Marfan syndrome.
Obviously, the UK does.
Kind of. We've got the Marfan Trust here, so that does a
Right.
lot for us. So we've got the Marfan Trust. I think Marfan Foundation is more for Americans and things like
Right.
that,
Yeah.
but we can still reach out to them if we wanted to, so which is good. So I think
Yeah.
anybody around the world can reach out to the Marfan Foundation,
Yeah.
even the Marfan Trust, because they'll give you information. And I know the Marfan Trust are brilliant at communicating and getting back to you as well, so that's really good. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Is it mostly Facebook where people could find these groups or?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Facebook, Instagram even as well, but with
Yep.
Marfan Trust it's mostly on their website or on their Facebook group then.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. No,
yeah.
that's great. It's so important to have that support network. So that's great that you're part of that. Just a bit of a fun question. If you had a superpower, that could counteract one aspect of Marfan syndrome, what would that be?
Well, I did have a good think of this one because I didn't
Yeah.
know what to think. I didn't know what to try
Yeah.
to say for this one. But I always remember watching The Incredibles growing up. I was a really big fan of the Disney film The Incredibles. So I have to say Elastigirl, because I always thought it'd be quite cool to
Absolutely.
stretch and things like that. Like it would be awesome to stretch the fridge or something like that.
You're watching something and you're like, oh, I'm peckish, and you just like stretch out the arm to the fridge
Yeah.
after getting up, you know, Mr. Show.
Yeah.
That would be
It would be
awesome.
awesome.
But I've seen your wingspan, you're almost there, girl.
I am almost there. I
Have you had any funny or bizarre experiences with Marfan syndrome?
Definitely. I think comments, like mostly, like I had a comment the other day, and I was thinking about this because I was just dumbfounded to what they said. They actually thought that I wasn't sick. They thought that I was a human hybrid, and I was quite shocked about that. So I was really taken aback by that. I didn't know how to respond. I found
That's
it like,
funny. A
yeah, I don't know.
human hybrid with what?
I don't know. That's what I thought. I wanted to ask that question, so I don't know. I don't know what it meant by that. But she was a critical thinker, or a conspiracy theorist. That was the answer. So I was really shocked.
I wonder if she thought meant like chimerism, where you have the two different DNAs within the one body, and
Oh,
you know,
wow.
be half half. And so I actually got tested for chimerism because I've got the different colored eyes.
Wow.
One of my brain tumors is embryonic remnant and stuff. So I'm actually still going through that process of getting tested. So I wonder whether she meant chimerism, where you have two halves of, you know, where you basically swallow a twin. Because I noticed your hair color as well. Is that natural, the poliosis with the
Oh no, that's not natural. I
It
just thought it was cool. I wanted it to be
is
cool.
very cool. It is
Yeah.
very cool. But that is actually a symptom of having like a different DNA as well. So that's why I was like, oh, you could be. So I was on the same thought process, hopefully, because a human hybrid, that's interesting.
It is interesting. It was interesting. That was quite strange. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you've done two reels and you've actually educated me because I knew a few of the people on the reels, the celebrities who also have Marfan syndrome. So I encourage our viewers to go on your reels and watch that.
But I also like to delve into myth and legend because with mutations, I found That they're generally the source to an exaggerated myth or some kind of legend. Like, did you know that in Greek mythology, Amazon women were thought to have arisen from women who were isolated because either a pituitary gland issue, which exaggerated their growth, or from Marfan syndrome?
Yes.
The reason they say that is because they were tall, long-limbed, had exotic facial features, and were extremely agile. And while they are myths, there was a tribe of Scythian women found buried in their armor. They were tall and lithe with unusually long limbs. I think that's pretty cool.
Cool. I didn't know that at all. Yes. So that's, you've educated me with that. Yeah. So that's it's such a lovely meaning as well. Do you
absolutely
know what I mean?
So, yeah. Exactly. And I think the whole mutation station, I found just doing my research, particularly when you look into mythology and things like that, it seems to be around people with genetic mutations, and then that's kind of evolved into legend and myth. Like something like the werewolf is somebody with hypertrichosis, who just somebody who has hair all over their bodies. And I love that because, you know, way, way back then they were celebrating people, you know, they thought they had superpowers, they were healers, they were, you know, touched by the divine, they were revered for the most part. You know, coming into the Dark Ages, we were witches. so I love that way back then people who were different were celebrated, and then somehow society changed that into, you know, putting them into, like, Victorian times, putting them into homes. Exactly. And I don't know if you've even noticed with advertising and things, it seems to kind of be coming back where we're celebrating uniqueness, and we got to a bit of a time where we were looking like a bit of a Stepford society. So that's why I love finding people like you on Instagram and just sort of delving more into it, because it's not something taboo. I love that you're going through life educating and nurturing people, and I just think as individuals you want to kind of leave this life with a legacy, and what a legacy you're already creating for that. And I just really admire you. Is there anything you would like to add to this interview? I mean, I've sort of given you questions where I've looked more into your personality, because I think you delve into the condition yourself, and I don't want to take away from that. I encourage everybody to go and visit your site. So is there anything else to add?
I think just to be yourself, I think to anybody who's different, I think just be yourself, take every day by, you know, just take it day by day, and just don't try to look too far into the future, you know, if you're in pain and things like that, because you always, I'm one of those people to have to cancel sometimes if I have to meet up with somebody and things like that, but I think it's really important not to worry about that, just try and, you know, be yourself and try not to worry about what other people think. And I think that's so important, really important actually. So yeah, and then bullies are not a reflection on you at all. Do you know what I mean? That's not something that you should take to heart, really. Try not to take it to heart, because I think it makes you stronger as a person overall, you know, towards the end. And you're a fighter, basically, if you've gone through all that. So, yeah, definitely think that. So,
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. And I'll add to that, like any bullies out there, it's not a reflection on the person being bullied. It's a reflection on the bully.
Definitely.
So it's really important to sort of stand strong against that, and you're a remarkable example. We are about being perfectly imperfect, but I think you're perfectly perfect. Again, thank you so much for your time. You've been really gracious and generous, and we really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much.